Blog Talk Radio.
Rich Wilson, welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And as we sit here and coming down towards the end of May, prospects galore are being promoted. We've had, obviously, Ronald Acuna. Now we've got Juan Soto being promoted yesterday for today. Only got one pitch hit at bat, 0-for-1, but 19 years old, and then a young 19, just turned 19 back in December. Tons of talent. Is he ready for the big leagues? Not sure. Not sure the approach is there, but man, the guy's got tools. Double plus raw power, can run a little bit, has been blitzing through the minor leagues this year, started off in low A, then the high A for a week or two, recently promoted up to double A. And if you're reading my hot prospects of the week, I think he's been on the list more than any other player, including the best minor league prospect in Vlad Guerrero Jr. So it's been Juan Soto year. And I think when I did even write up about Vlad Guerrero Jr., I did say the best player in the minor leagues this year has been Juan Soto. But is he ready? I don't know. He's prominently on Tim's waiver wire this week. He's a guy that you have to bid on because of the potential that he has. But if he is not quite ready for the big leagues because the approach isn't there, I mean, remember, he's 19 years old, started off in low A this year. So, you know, I think you have to set your expectations of what he is going to do. So anyway, so it is Juan Soto Day. For those of you who love prospects and love fantasy baseball, it's really what it's all about when you're following a guy. Soto was a kid that was signed when he was 16 years old. I've been watching his progression through the minor leagues. It's just really exciting to see them get the call. And then the question is, are they ready? We know that the talent is there. We know long-term he's got a chance to be a very, very special player. The question is he ready? But opportunity always presents itself, particularly in Washington. They've never been bashful about bringing guys up. If you recall, they brought up Bryce Harper at 19 years old. They brought up Victor Robles at 20. A lot of people are asking, what's happened to Victor Robles? Victor Robles has been hurt all season. I think he played in 3 or 4 games, got injured, and he's now starting to begin his starting to actually play a little bit. You should see him in a couple of rehab games shortly. He would have probably been the guy, logical guy to bring up when Howard Kendrick went down. But, hey, Juan Soto gets the chance. So hopefully we'll see him be successful. But, again, set your expectations. So we're going to talk Juan Soto this evening. We're going to talk Tim's waiver wire. We're going to get into the Yankees. Are they for real? And a lot of news and notes. We'll talk about young pitchers. A really good show planned for you. A couple of announcements. If you are interested in supporting the show, which we hope you are, we work really hard at doing this show. We work really hard over Prospect 361, bringing the content to you. You can support us by a couple of ways. You can go out to iTunes and write a review on us. We'd appreciate that very much. Or you can go out to our site, again, Prospect 361, and click on one of our sponsors, Amazon.com, StubHub, MLBShops.com, and Steiner Sports. They're all listed on the homepage on the right-hand side. Also, all the baseball cards are there for you. They're all supported through by Amazon. Click those on. If you're not interested in purchasing the baseball card, that's fine. But we encourage you to, you know, if you're going to make a purchase for Amazon, go through our affiliated links. And yeah, we get a little bit of commission from that. It's just the way that the internet works. Without further ado, let's bring on anything but Reyes, a joke that Tim McLeod Oops. Let me bring something happened here. Let me go back. The great Tim McCloud, how are you?
Hey, I'm just doing fine, Rich. Did you hear about that kid in San Diego by any chance?
Yeah, it would be Franmil Reyes. Timmy, has he done anything? I haven't been following him this week.
I haven't either, but I haven't seen his name pop out in the headlines, Rich. So my guess would be no.
All right, let's see. Franmil Reyes. Oh, it's only got one L on it. I always forget that. Franmil Reyes. Let's see what he's done, Timmy. Bringing up his player profile here. Let's see. 5 games, 14 at bats, 2 hits, 6 strikeouts.
Yeah, no homers, no RBIs, no runs scored. Consistent. I'll give him that.
Nothing, Timmy. He's Zippo. So, yeah, big guy. You know, it's funny, Timmy, and I've talked about Juan Soto in my intro. I know you wrote about him. I mean, he is the talk of the town. I mean, a 19-year-old, a young 19-year-old, just 19 and a half, gets called up. It's big news. Starts off in low A. And, yeah, Franmil Reyes, all these guys, Timmy, they've got tons of potential. But, man, that leap to the major leagues is a huge leap. I know it sounds stupid and trite, but it is so large. Soto's had no problem so far in every leap that he has done this year, gone through low A to high A to double A. But moving to the major leagues, Timmy, you can stumble, just like clearly Franmil Reyes is stumbling as well. So I just wanted to caution everybody in my introduction.
Well, yeah, I think it's a fair point, Rich. The only problem that you're looking at is it's sort of like a tale of two cities with Soto. You're not going to get him cheap. It's going to cost you in redraft leagues an arm and a leg and another arm. I know in Tote this morning he went for 400 plus. You're not going to get him cheap. And are you going to reap the rewards? It's a double-edged sword. And, you know, I'm looking long and hard. I've got my labor bidding to come up tonight, and he, of course, is available. But so's Melky Cabrera, and I'm beginning to wonder if maybe a couple bucks in that direction might be bucks better spent.
Soto, 16 games, 373 batting average, 1,300 ops in low A. 14 games in high A, 379 batting average, 1,298 ops. So it went down, a little bit. Double A, 8 games, 31 at-bats. One base percentage of 400, 581 slug, and 981 OPS. Total of 7.52. What is that, Tim? 14 home runs. Doesn't have tremendous speed, but I mean the power is real. But you know, and it's more walks and strikeouts, or as many walks as strikeouts. So he can control the strike zone. But Timmy, he's 19. Everything would point to this can't happen. But sometimes it does. Well, I mean, I don't know how to advise people except just to be careful.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing is you can't be careful. If you want him, you got to spend like a drunken sailor. So, you know, like I said, it's a double-edged sword. You know, I'm not saying don't go out and spend the money on him. He could well return it, but what do we got, 31 at-bats above A-ball?
Yeah, I mean, 31 at-bats above A-ball. Yeah, but Timmy, 89 at bats above low A. Or let's make it even worse. He's got 150 above short season, above rookie ball. I mean, that's just, you know, what he has done has been remarkable. And the easy thing is to say, look, it's not real. Don't go out. Don't spend $400
right,
because he's going to be up for a couple of weeks and go, you know, I don't know, 32 and then be demoted. That's the easy thing to do. But what if
that's
isn't,
right,
Timmy? What if it's real?
Then that's 400 bucks. Well, that's 40% of your FAB budget well spent.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, sometimes, Timmy, it's a gambling game. I mean, sometimes you gamble on it and you win. You look like the smartest guy in the world. And sometimes you lose and just like, why did you do that? And there's not a fantasy expert that can advise you what the right thing to do. There's not a scout out there that can tell you if this guy is going to be able to hit as soon as he gets up. Nobody knows.
Yeah, well, Yeah, what I did today, I bid $357 in tote. And the reason I bid $357 is because it was $1. I took a look at the teams that were in the top three, and the most they could spend was $356. So I wanted to block the top three teams from having a chance.
Okay, fair. And somebody still outbid you.
Yeah, and somebody still outbid me. So, you know, the intent was there. My offense in tote is very good, so I don't need it. I don't need the bat. But at the same point in time, it's just another strategy that one should look at when approaching FAB and redraft leagues. You should sort of take a look at the environment around you, and sometimes that dictates what you should be looking at bidding, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so to me, another guy who got called up, didn't play well, went down, got back up, is Tyler O'Neill. So what do you think of Tyler O'Neill? If it's $400 for Juan Soto, is it $40 for Tyler O'Neill? Is that the smarter pickup?
When I start right now, I would rather own Guillermo Heredia in Seattle than O'Neill. Simply because I know he's going to play every day. And that's the key for me right now is, hey, I love O'Neill. I love the power potential. But how often is he going to play, Rich? That's my big concern. You know, I mean, you got Osuna, you got Fowler, you got Pham. He's going to get one or two games a week. But how much do you want to pay for that one or two games a week and the chance that he's going to park one on one of those 2 days? Unless, of course, they bench somebody. And I don't know if they're prepared to bench one of those three guys yet.
So let's pivot the conversation just a little bit. So Ronald Acuna, consensus number one overall prospect entering the 2018 season. Everybody was waiting for this guy to come up. Uber talent. He's batting .253. He's got an on-base percentage of .330. He's got four home runs and 26 strikeouts over nine walks. He's been okay. He's not been great.
Yeah.
So,
well, no.
What makes us think that Juan Soto? What makes us think that Juan Soto, in 22 games, is going to be better than Ronald Acuna?
Because he's the next bright shiny bauble, and we always have to buy those bright shiny baubles. It's a rule, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, I think my point is, and I could be wrong, right? Again, it's easy thing to say, hey, it's $400 wasted. But it almost feels like that it's a sucker fab that's out there. I mean, if you're in eighth place and you got to make the big gamble, yeah, by all means. You know, if you think Juan Soto will do it, then by all means, go for it. He should be able to provide power. I think there'll be more swing and miss in his game than you think, and because I just don't think the approach is ready. But if you know, he could hit for the rest of the season, hit 30 home runs, and it might pull your team into contention. But if you're number one or if you're in the top three, I don't know, Timmy. I just don't know if I'm going to play that game.
Yeah, if I'm top three in offense, the only concern I might have is blocking somebody. I would much rather look right now at investing in maybe some of the relief pitchers that are out there. And if I'm looking at bats, There are bats available that have some potential to play full time, and that Melky Cabrera, you know, he's always hit for a pretty decent average, not big power, not big RBIs, but he's going to play every day in Cleveland, and that counts.
Yeah, I agree, Timmy. Look, this doesn't. I just want to make sure I'm clear. I'm as excited as everybody else there for Juan Soto. I hope he bats 800 with three home runs a game. I'd love to see it. I really, really do. But if I'm talking, if I'm a fantasy player out there and he's taken in every one of my leagues, so there's no way I can go out and bid on him. I think you just need to be careful in redraft leagues, because if you bid $400, Timmy, that's your big player for the year. that's your guy.
Yeah, that's your guy. After that, you're going to be scrambling. And what I did in tote today, Rich, because my offense is so strong and my pitching sucks, okay, what I did was I put in that $356 or $57 bid on Soto, but I backed it up with a $43 bid on Vladdy Guerrero Jr. How's that?
Yeah, that's not a bad I mean, to me, that's not a bad option. You know, I'm glad you brought in my opening dialogue. I did mention that Vlad Guerrero Jr. is the best prospect in the game. There's no question about it. But Soto has been the better player this year. I mean, he's just been crazy. But Vlad Guerrero Jr. is going to be a better major league player than Juan Soto. He's just got a better hit tool. He's got more raw power. And he's more ready, even though they're very similar in age. And I think we see him, Timmy.
Well, you know what? I think that with the way the Jays are fumbling and stumbling, and it's probably not going to get any better, I think there's going to be an incredible amount of pressure put on Jays management by the fan base in Toronto to see this kid up. And, you know, what did he do today in the first game? He went 4-for-4 and hit a walk-off two-run homer. I think at the end of the first game, he's batting .423 at Double-A.
It's crazy. He's 19 years old.
Yeah, you know, so. You compare Soto to Vlad Jr., and, you know, hey, I'm not knocking Soto, but Vladdy is far more ready for the big leagues right now, in my opinion, than Soto is, and it's close.
Well, I applaud you for the preemptive move. And yeah, maybe it's us just being sour grapes to me by not telling everybody 2 weeks ago to do a preemptive pickup of Juan Soto. I do this for a living, Timmy, and I've written Juan Soto up, I think I'm on week eight. I think I've written him up 4 weeks in a row. I was thinking he might make it to Double-A at the beginning of the season. I had no idea he'd make it all the way up to the major league. So maybe there's a little bit of sour grapes there, but again, wish him all the best. Set your expectations. If you spend $400, good for you, go for it. But if you get sent down to the minors in 2 weeks or Victor Robles is ready, don't be surprised that happens.
Well, no, it's the perfect storm right now because, you know, I think we've mentioned numerous times, Washington sets their budget fairly early, and they were counting on Adam Eaton being back. And right now, Adam Eaton is just a week removed from arthroscopic surgery on his left ankle. So, you know, he's looking at another 4 to 6 weeks. It's just the perfect storm. Everything fit, and the Nats needed an outfielder. I strongly believe, as you mentioned, that had Robles been healthy and ready, he would have gotten the call.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I hear he's starting to ramp up, so hopefully he'll get out in the game very, very soon. And this, you know, as much as I like Juan Soto, the speed isn't there. So from a fantasy standpoint, Victor Robles, in the end, it could be a very, very interesting prospect. A guy who's got double plus speed, 80 grade speed, if you will. Got a little bit of pop and it's got a decent hit tool. I mean, the top of the order guy, Timmy, is many times more valuable today than, you know, big bopper that's going to hit you 30 to 40 home runs.
Yeah, it's usually, I know most of the leagues that I'm in, Rich, stolen bases are really now, you know, a matter of 7-8 stolen bases and you could be looking at 5-6 points. The right stolen base guy right now could add to your total very, very quickly.
Yeah, totally agree. So, Timmy, how's you mentioned? I think you're still in first place in labor. How's Tout doing?
I'm sort of plateaued in Tout. Unless I make a deal or get very, very lucky, my offense top tier. It's I'm in the top three in every category except for OBP, where I think I'm mid-pack. Pitching, I have 1 in ERA, I have 1 in WHIP, and I have 1.5 in wins. Unless I get lucky off the waiver wire or manage to make a deal, it ain't gonna be happening for me this year, Rich. I'm looking at probably a mid-pack finish.
So let's talk about your pitching, Timmy, just why it's fresh in your mind. I'm sure you've thought about it a lot. I mean, what happened? I mean, besides the obvious, you didn't pick good enough pitchers. I mean, what happened in your evaluation? Have you had a chance to go back and look and figure out where – was it injuries? Was it bad luck? Or did you draft poorly?
It was a combination of a couple of things. You Darvish sucking it up, that hurt.
Pitch well today.
Yeah, he did very, very well. And hopefully he can continue that trend. It'll go a long ways to helping. The Taiwan Walker injury hurt me in a big way.
Yeah.
That and a combination of I quit bidding at $6 on Michaelis and took Aaron Sanchez for, I believe, $1 less. In hindsight, I should have spent the extra buck on Michaelis and said, no, Sanchez ain't bouncing back.
Yeah, Sanchez has been a real disappointment. I know that's one thing I think we've advised our listeners poorly on. I thought once he got beyond his blisters, which looks like it may be a thing of the past, that, I mean, the
right.
talent was there, and it's just been a disappointing season. It's not been horrible, but it's not been great.
Well, yeah, and when you throw that in with the fact that I've dealt with losing Walker, and Darvish has just finally showed up this week, that puts you in quite the hole. It really does. Like I said, my offense is good. My pitching, if I can gain a few points, I might have a shot at the top tier. But I've tried to make some trades, but my value of players and some others are pretty much on the same page. So it is what it is.
Yeah, what's disappointing, I'm taking a look at, I'm still stuck on Aaron Sanchez. The control, 5.19 walks per nine. Timmy, that's not going to get it done.
No, it's not going to get it done. And not anywhere close, especially in the AL East. You know, the Yankees and Red Sox are going to beat up on him something fierce.
So, Timmy, pitching always comes into the league. There's always guys that get on the hot streak. Can't you continue to work the waiver wire and pick up some guys that could turn the magic, though?
There's always that possibility. I picked up Allard and stashed him, and he got run over by Ruiz. I'm hoping he's all right, but it's a tough 15-team league, and it's just not that easy to find pitching. Most of it is gone. Next week I'm probably going to throw a couple bucks down on a Cleveland pitcher that I really like that's in the minors. It'll be on my waiver wire next week, but again,
is that Bieber?
Yes, that would be Bieber. I thought about it this week, but I had too many names and I was scrambling to get the waiver wire done. So I'm leaving it till next week, but Bieber will get a mention. But one of the problems with Tote.
By the way, before you start, I love. I don't know if you read my intro, because the way the waiver wire works, Timmy writes the content, then I write the intro. I love how you're starting to put guys as pickups in the waiver wire that I mentioned several weeks ago as hot prospects. And if you do the same thing with Bieber, it's a really nice thing, Timmy, because we're identifying them early on as guys to watch out. And then you're mentioning them a few weeks later as, wait a minute, not only should you watch out for these guys, they might come up this year that can help you. And I thought that was really cool when I started to see that.
Well, you know, what's even more cool is that I don't go over your hot list.
Of course not.
Put together.
Tim, it's well known, Timmy, that you do not listen to me. You do not read my content. So I know we're independent thinking here. There's no question in my mind. That's what was cool.
Like, I read them all the time. I get the feeds and I take a look at them. But at the same point in time, I don't use them as a reference source.
I know,
which
Timmy.
Makes it even
I'm
better,
just
right?
I'm just teasing you. Timmy, I'm sorry, I cut you off in the middle. What else were you saying? Do you remember, or did I completely throw you off track?
Yeah, no. You know, basically, we're just talking about trying to find pitching, and it's just simply not that easy. When you're in a league where you have to have somebody active the week you pick them up, it limits your speculation somewhat because you're going with eight pitchers. And, you know, that sort of gets tough. I'm at the stage where I don't have any choice except to go with eight pitchers and call up, you know, and look at a guy like Bieber next week, probably. But it's, you know, it just is what it is. I've got Hellickson and Chad Kuhl in my rotation now, Rich. That doesn't instill a lot of confidence, does it?
No, it doesn't. But, I mean, Hellickson's been pretty good.
Yeah, Helix has been fine, but the biggest thing I think that killed me is a combination of Yu Darvish and losing Taijuan Walker. I was counting on Walker for 175 innings of 350 ERA, 115 whip, and 160 strikeouts. I haven't been able to find anybody to replace average.
Timmy, as we open up the show, and we've already, I think, done a whole podcast here in the first 25 minutes, guys, this was totally unscripted, and we just went off the cuff, and I thought Tim just brought some incredible brilliance there. Let me just highlight some of the things you said I thought were really important. How Timmy looked through his Tout Wars team to figure out what the maximum could bid be on the top three guys and realize they couldn't go over 357 or whatever, 356. So Tim bid $1 more than that because he didn't want the top-tier teams, the top three teams, getting us Juan Soto and having a chance to make a difference. I thought it was a brilliant defensive move. So listen to that. And then Timmy, how he's with his pitching staff, what he's going to try to do to try to meander his way through and see if he can catch lightning in a bottle. I thought they were both really spot-on thoughts, Timmy. And I'm hoping our listeners really were listening to that, not just, not paying attention. So, because I think it's really important stuff.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that the listeners do a better job of listening to the podcast than I do of listening to you. How's that, Rich?
Well said, Timmy. I wasn't going to say that. I figured I'd jump in
first and cut you off at the pass. Am I sounding a little better this week, Rich?
You are, Timmy. Just one little blurby thing in there, but 25 minutes and you sound great. And by the way, Timmy, as I've said multiple times, I actually do not blame you for not listening to me. So there's no question about that. So
I think I solved the problem, Rich, though. I really do. And I think I know what happened last week, if you're interested in hearing it.
Please, Timmy.
Well, you know, somebody told me that on a laptop, okay, you should always put a piece of tape, okay, over your camera. Okay?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, and of course I do, but you know what's right beside the camera, Rich?
Oh, the mic. Yeah.
Guess what Tim forgot to do last week? It's taken care of this week.
Okay, well, hopefully that's it, Timmy. We'll have to see. I do have to ask you a question. I know how, being in Canada, you're Mr. Pop Culture up there, Timmy. But Yanni or Laurel? Who did you hear?
Well, I like that singer guy, Yanni. I have no idea.
I don't know what I'm talking about?
I haven't. I've seen it all over Facebook, and I've just chosen to ignore it, Rich. Is that the right path to take?
It probably is, Timmy. But it was. It's pretty weird stuff. I don't know how who did the original recording, but they say a word. I've heard it. And on the internet, it sounds like Laurel. I've heard it on television. It sounded like Yanni. I don't know how it works, Timmy, but to certain people in the pitch and the tone of it, it sounds like the word Yanni, and the other person, it sounds like the word Laurel. And it's been this fun thing to kind of talk about. So I was just wondering if you had a chance to partake in it.
No, I just keep hearing voices. Assorted, assorted topics, assorted people. I haven't nailed it down to any two people yet, Rich.
So let's talk about the surprising Yankees. I don't know if that's fair, Tim, but I thought the Yankees were going to be good. I think both of us picked the Red Sox over the Yankees, but the Yankees are starting to, run away with things. I mean, they are in first place, and they've got. We thought was going to be a good team, but it's looking like a ridiculous team. And I just want to get your thoughts just on, their infield and their outfield, their starting pitcher, relief pitcher. And just, their infield is obviously Gary Sanchez behind the plate, Tyler Austin, who is, making the Yankees forget about Greg Bird pretty quickly at two home runs a day. Gleyber Torres off to a really good start at second. Didi Gregorius. Miguel Andujar at third base in the outfield. It's Stanton, Hicks, Gardner and Judge, some kind of combination. One of them usually plays a designated hitter. To me, it's a formidable offense. Is it better than the Astros?
I don't know. You got more power, definitely. But better, I don't know. They both have great offenses. There's no weak spots in the Yankee offense. They're only going to get better when Bird comes back. And at some point in time, Ellsbury will be there as more depth in the outfield, for what that's worth. But they both have great teams. The big difference between them is when you approach the pitching, which I think gives Houston that edge.
Yeah, the Yankees, I'm not sure how they're doing. I mean, Luis Severino missed on totally. I mean, he is better than I think I ever thought. I thought he'd be a relief pitcher, but I still hate the delivery, but it is what it is. Masahiro Tanaka, Timmy, playing with a partially torn UCL, continues to play very well. CeCe Sabathia's been okay, and Sonny Gray has not. But yet, I mean, their run differentials is tremendous, and they're winning games. I mean, can the starting pitcher keep it up?
Well, I think they can, simply because behind that group of starting pitchers, you got the best group of relief pitchers, I think, 1 through 5 in the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's just take a look hypothetically, okay? You know, somebody's struggling, somebody gets hurt. What did Tampa Bay do this week? And they had Sergio Romo start a game.
That was awesome.
Yeah, so what would be wrong with having Dylan Batant start a game? Followed up by Green. Followed up by Conley. Followed up by Robinson. Closed out by Chapman. The Yankees have so many options that they can explore because of the depth of that relief pitching. And, you know, Houston's in exactly the same situation. A very, very deep bullpen. And that's the difference to me between the Yankees and Houston when you compare them to the Red Sox. Because the Red Sox don't have that bullpen. Other than Craig Kimbrell, it gets a little sketchy very, very quickly.
It's the real deal, and you know, it's fascinating because obviously I follow their minor league system fairly closely, and they've got depth in the minor leagues. I mean, the Chance Adams, I've never been a big fan of, but he's there as some early help if they need it. But they've got depth in the minor leagues, Timmy. If they need to trade for a starter, they can do that. The question is, and it's the million-dollar question, Timmy. They have said they are going to get underneath that salary cap so they can bid as much money on the big free agents next year, including Clayton Kershaw, including Bryce Harper, you name it, Timmy, Manny Machado, they're all out there. And if they get below that threshold, it resets that salary cap from 50% down to 20%, significant money. Do they keep with that promise, that public commitment for the last 3 or 4 years, this was the year to get under it, if they have a chance to bring over a big-time, big salary guy that could put them over the top? What do you think they do?
I think they hold. In addition, you know, to Adams, you know, Sheffield's hurt right now, but he's a Triple-A, and he's not that far off, I don't believe. Also, Montgomery's back in a couple months, and that will further provide the starting pitching. I don't think the Yankees have to go out and acquire anybody. I don't think they have to spend. As a matter of fact, when I look at this team next year, I really don't think they have to spend on any of the free agents other than potentially a pitcher, a starting pitcher. You know, you got Stanton, you got Hicks, you got Judge, Gardner in the outfield. None of them are old. Why would you want to bring in Harper? You look at the infield. You got Torres, you got Gregorius, Andujar. You know, why would you want to spend $250 million on Manny Machado? I think this team can selectively buy some pitching, and I think they can be one of the strongest teams in the league for the next five, 6 years without even having to worry about going and spending. So get under the cap. Do what you got to do, because I don't think the team is going to get that much better with any of those big-dollar investments, Rich.
I agree with you from an offense. I thought it was well said, and I do think they will acquire a arm or two, and I would not be surprised, Timmy. You heard it here first. They don't go big for Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, all I know is right now if I was Scott Boras, I'd be a little bit concerned with the makeup of the Yankees and the direction they're heading in, because if you take the Yankees out of the bidding wars, there's not that many teams left, is there?
Nope. And Bryce Harper not having a great season, Timmy. Let's face it, not having a good season.
Well, yeah, you look at Boston, okay? They got J.D. Martinez, who they've spent on. But, they got Benintendi and they got Betts. Like, are they going to go spend a bundle on Harper? Who's going to spend the money on Harper, the Dodgers?
Maybe San Francisco, the Dodgers, maybe, Timmy. But they're the other team that can't spend any more money. So they need a reset as well. So I think they could be sellers at the at the draft. And the only thing the Yankees might do here at the end is to try to get a young, controllable pitcher who only makes a couple million dollars a year and doesn't screw up their salary cap. They do have a little bit of money left to spend, but they couldn't bring in a Justin Verlander at the end of the season like the Astros did last year. They can't afford that. But they could potentially bring in a young, somebody who's out there who is young and controllable, not making a lot of money, to try to add some depth to that team.
What they should do is they should get on the phone to Pittsburgh right away and ask them what it would cost for Nick Kingham.
Well, that pisses me off with Nick. What? Look, Timmy, may I for a moment?
Yes, you may.
Look, we've talked about the Pittsburgh Pirates, and look, I know some of the Pittsburgh Pirate front office guys are really smart guys. They really are, Timmy. The people in Pittsburgh, every person I've ever met from Pittsburgh, have been a lovely person, Timmy. I have no problem with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I have no problem with the city of Pittsburgh. But I do have a problem with how they treat their minor league players, what they do with them, what they're doing with Nick Kingham. Makes no sense at all. They are being so penny wise and pound foolish. They bring the guy up, they pitch him for one game, and then they send him back down. The only reason they're doing that is for service time. A guy who is 26 years old, who they will own through his 32nd year anyway, if they're doing it to play the Super 2 game to save $1 million here and there down the road, it's the dumbest thing ever. And they deserve to lose because they are not playing the game the right way. They are being so penny pinching that it's aggravating and upset. And all full disclosure, I do own Nick Kingham in a league and I want to play him, but you can't put him in. You have no idea when he's going to be called up because he'll come up, do a spot start, and down again. It's maddening as a fantasy owner. It must be maddening as a Pittsburgh Pirate. How can you follow and love this team, Timmy? I don't get it.
No, Rich, I don't either. And you know why he's down now? He's down now because of your guy, Joel Musgrove. They're bringing him up, so he's going to start next Friday. And Kingham has lost his spot in the rotation to Joel Musgrove, at least for now.
Yeah, I love Joe Musgrove, Timmy, but you mean to tell me the Pittsburgh Pirates, again, we went through this a couple weeks, so I don't do it again. Chad Kuhl. He should be playing over Nick Kingham. I don't understand. I don't understand this evaluation process. It makes no sense. And Neil Huntington's a smart guy. They see something. They must see something in Nick Kingham that none of us are seeing. They hate him for some reason. If they do so much, why not trade him? Because I think they could get a lot for him. And just continue the rebuild, Timmy. Let's rebuild for the rest of our lives with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Because that's all they know how to do is rebuild.
Well, not only do they know how to rebuild, but at the same point in time, when they get to the stage where they're close to being contending, a contender, we know that they won't go and invest in any high price help to put them over the top. So it's a circle that never ends. There's no getting off the bus, Rich. None.
And we saw that with David Price when they had the chance to bring in David Price to push him over the top. What was that, 2013 or whatever year that was? They elected not to do it. They went out in the play-in game. But yet they could have had David Price throwing that play-in game. Would have been a big difference. Then I think they put Francisco Liriano. That's who they had throwing their play-in game, or either a rookie or a second-year player in Gerrit Cole. Yet they could have had David Price. They didn't do it.
Yeah. Free Nick Kingham. Somebody make the Pirates a good offer, because I'd love to see Kingham pitching every fifth day. I really would.
Plus, it's not fair to Nick Kingham. I get it. He is the rights. He is the property of the Pittsburgh Pirates. But you look at what St. Louis did. I mean, here's a guy in Piscotty. He was an okay player. He's not going to be a superstar, but he's an okay player. They gave him – they let him give for personal reasons to go and play for Oakland, right? And so there are things that quality teams do that comes back to – to pay them back manyfold from goodwill throughout baseball and so forth, because that kind of stuff gets around. The Pirates never do that. They'll never be able to sign a big-time free agent because nobody wants to go play for them because they can't afford it. They'll always have some good players, but never a great team because they are afraid to add talent at the last minute. And to me, this is not right.
No, I totally agree. I could rant on the same subject for hours, Rich, but well said, well put.
Timmy, when we get back, we are going to – what are we going to do? I'm totally off track here. We're going to talk about Robinson Cano, Timmy, which is – I don't know. I'm just bummed about this, and I want to get your feedback. When we get back, it's Robinson Cano Talk. I hope Alan Hansen becomes a megastar. Then goes to the Hall of Fame.
You and me both, Rich. And I hope he just gets back healthy soon. I need him in labor.
Yeah, I'm thinking the bigger picture, Timmy. I want him to come back and haunt the Pittsburgh Pirates. I never understood that either with the Pittsburgh Pirates. By the way, have you seen our good friend and brother, I'll say that, Timmy, Brandon Belt?
Yes, he's just belting it all over the place, isn't he? I've actually had a couple people bring that to my attention, stating, is this the belt that, we were hoping to see? And, yeah, it definitely is. I added a proviso, though. It's the belt that we are hoping to see stay healthy as well right through to the end of the season.
Yeah, Timmy, we can look the last three seasons. Go look it up, everybody. I mean, Belt has had first 2 months like this a couple of times and then got injured. And there's these stupid concussions that have set him back. But he hit his 11th home run today. I know coming into the day, he was 308, 406, 577. I mean, just ridiculous kind of stat lines. And this is the guy that this is the kind of player that we always thought he could be. Incredibly streaky player, just as Jose Altuve is up to bat at this game I'm watching. Very streaky player. But, you know, you keep him in a rotisserie league, Timmy, and he stays healthy. It's a 25 to 30 home run bat with a decent average and a really good on base percentage.
I totally agree. I like what I'm seeing. Let's just hope and pray that he stays healthy for 550 at bats this year.
Robinson Cano, Timmy, arguably he could be a top three all-time second baseman. Offensively, just a remarkable player, you know, over 300 home runs. He's probably going to end up with 3,000 hits, maybe closer to 400 home runs, maybe doesn't get all the way up there. Defensive player, really, really good. Always had the reputation of being a nonchalant kind of player, but I mean, just an incredible defensive player. Yet, Timmy, he tests positive for a diuretic that he claims a Dominican doctor prescribed to him for high blood pressure, which, Timmy, sometimes, I mean, a diuretic is prescribed for that, because I remember when I was suffering from marginal high blood pressure, it's the first thing they put me on. It makes you pee all the time, and it's something to do with your urine. Your bladder kind of gets full, and it presses on your blood pressure or your veins and makes your blood pressure go up. Something that's always described to me. It helps a little bit, but ultimately you have to sometimes go on beta blockers and all that kind of stuff to get your blood pressure to go down. So there, it
yes.
could be legitimate that that's why he was using it, but they also said, well, this kind of drug he was on is a masking agent, a known masking agent for PED. And the thing I find frustrating, Timmy, and I don't know if he did it or not, I hope he didn't, but he's done, Timmy. He's not going to get into the Hall of Fame. And it's almost like in baseball now, because there's been so many situations to start off with Ryan Braun, and it's gone on and on and on, that you were guilty, and you don't have a chance to prove your innocence. You're just guilty. You're done.
Well, he's guilty because it doesn't matter what reason he comes up with. Major League Baseball makes it very, very clear all of the drugs that are on the banned list. And it's no big secret. All the players have access to. I would imagine that the players are all individually given the list of banned drugs. He took a banned drug. I don't care what the reason is. There is no reason. It's banned. He took
it.
He's out.
But it's not a PED, Timmy. It's not a performance enhancing drug. Now, where I think the translation is going to be in the eyes of the voter is they'll immediately say, well, it was a banned substance, A, so he cheated, and two is he was probably using it to cover up, you know, something else that was going on, and I think that's what's going to happen, because that's what people believe.
Well, yeah, maybe they will believe that. Some will believe, hey, he was taking it. He was taking it to cheat. Some will believe he was taking it for hypertension. The bottom line is, it's on the banned list. He shouldn't have been taking it for any reason. If he had any questions, he could have asked Major League Baseball, and I'm sure they would have given him some sort of definitive answer. Bottom line is, whether he did it to cheat, he did it for his hypertension. For me, the bottom line is he took a banned substance. That's wrong. He pays the price for it. I think he will eventually get into the Hall of Fame, but instead of being first, second ballot, he'll be a ninth, tenth ballot.
You think he gets in? That's interesting, Tim, because I don't think he does unless some known user, and he's got a long time to wait, so maybe 15 years and we'll finally, yeah, it's probably 15, 18 years before his time will be up that he'll get voted in. Maybe by then there'll be forgiveness on the whole PED thing, or somebody will get in who they thought was clean and then come out and say he wasn't, and maybe that opens up. So a lot of things can happen, but I bet you if it were a voting today, he would not get in.
No, if it was voting today and it's his first kick at the can, he's not getting in. But again, it doesn't matter what Robinson Cano has to say on this. The bottom line is, he took a banned substance. He is guilty. It doesn't matter what the reason is. He shouldn't have been taking that. It's plain and simple, and he did, and he got caught, and now he's going to pay a huge price for it.
I totally agree with you, Timmy. And it's what's remarkable is, you know, and particularly in the Latin community, they get down, and the doctors in Latin, you know, space, they're not following all the MLB rules, but the players should be. But it's remarkable that the agents aren't saying, look, guys, if you take anything of the banned substance, it's done. I mean, look at it. I mean, people are going to assume the worst, because that's what we do in baseball now. We assume that you took the blood pressure medicine or the diuretic, not for the reason you're stating, because you're trying to cheat. And that's just the way it is. Then nobody's going to change perception that's going on.
No, you're right. The perception isn't going to change. But, you know, you're talking about a guy who signed, what was it, a $250 million contract. He's got an agent. He's got access to any and every lawyer, doctor, anybody that he wants. He has access. And he's taking a banned substance? Duh, that's not real smart, is it?
Yeah, and going against him as well, really good friends with Alex Rodriguez, really good friends with Melky Cabrera when they were all on that Yankee team. And those are the guys he hung out with, Timmy. And as my dad would say, if you lay down with dogs that has fleas, you get fleas. So he's got that going against him as well. I mean, it's just a perception. Whether it's fair or not, it's a perception.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's not about whether it's fair. It is what it is, Rich.
Did you ever hear that expression, if you lay down with a dog that gets fleas, you get fleas?
Yeah, I have. I think my grandfather used to use it.
Yeah, well, it's our age, Timmy. The millennials listening to this podcast are like, what? What are these guys talking about? Starling Marte, Timmy, hits the DL. Austin Meadows, another Uber prospect. We already talked Juan Soto, gets the call. Goes 2-for-4 the first day, 0-for-3 the next day. It's a guy that really fell off the prospect radar. I've always still liked the kid. But does he get much of a chance? It is the Pittsburgh Pirates, which means as soon as Marte is healthy, they're going to send Austin Meadows back down. I guarantee it to me because he's got to make it past June. So they're going to put him back down. But is this a guy that you're bidding heavily on this weekend?
He's a guy that I'm bidding fairly low on, simply because, you know, they got Polanco at one corner, they got Dickerson at the other. As soon as Marte comes back, regardless of the Super 2 situation, he doesn't have any place to play. Okay? Throw the Super 2 in there, and I think what's going to happen is Austin Meadows is going to play until Marte is ready to go, which could be 3-4 weeks, at which point in time they will demote him back down to AAA. So unless I'm in a situation where I'm looking to fill an outfield spot for a relatively short period of time, and I'm in that situation, and that Chris Davis has come up with a strained groin, and he's day-to-day. I've got Zimmer, who's out in one league, and Hansen, all in one league. I might be a little bit more aggressive on Meadows because I think he's going to fill a 2-to-4-week window, and that's the window that I need filling. But I'm not counting on him for anything after that 4-week period.
I totally agree with you, Tammy. I think both from a Super 2 standpoint and the fact they won't have anywhere to play, and he'll just go back to the minor leagues, and they'll ruin another guy. So that's again, a snide on the Pittsburgh Pirates. A.J. Pollock, Tammy, it's I had him in one league. Timmy, I was competing heavily. He was the best player on my team, one of the best players in fantasy baseball this year and Major League Baseball this year. You talked about him potentially being a first-round draft pick next year. Brutal loss, out 4 to 8 weeks, fractured his thumb, which you know is going to sap his power when he comes back. It's just a brutal, brutal blow for fantasy owners.
Yeah, it's totally. By the way, I now have Pollock into the third or fourth round.
Okay. So, Timmy, what are you going to do? Tell me what to do. I own Pollock. What do I do? Who should I go pick up? Yasmani Tomas? I mean, he's batting 246. He's got a 269 on base percent, 2 home runs, AAA. What about Yasmani Tomas, huh? No?
No, they hate him, Rich. The guy to pick up is Dyson. Okay, if you're looking at short term, it's Dyson. He's going to play center field every day, basically. Chris Owings is going to get a lot of at-bats. And if you want to gamble on somebody at AAA, go with Socrates Brito. Having a very, very nice year. And I think they call Brito up before they call Tomas. As a matter of fact, I'll predict right now that Socrates Brito will be on my waiver wire article next week, Rich. How's that?
Okay, Timmy, they will call up Tim McLeod before they call up Yasmani Tomas. He is done. He'll be up in September just because he's on the 40-man. He's done.
I think that's a fair assessment, yes. The only problem is he's done, but he's stuck in their organization for the duration of the 40 mil that's owed him or something like that, whatever the amount is.
That's right. Yeah, he's the Boston guy just escaped me. That was supposed to be the great Cuban guy. Yeah, Ruzyny Castillo. Thank you, Timmy. Yeah, it's the same situation. I mean, particularly for the Red Sox, they can't bring him up because it puts them over the salary threshold. Yasmani Tomas probably doesn't put the Pirate or the Diamondbacks over the threshold, but he's done. Ruzyny Castillo is done, Timmy. Two big signee Cubans that just didn't make it.
Yeah, and when his contract runs out, he'll head off to Japan. He'll hit 40 home runs. And somebody will take a chance on him.
Jake Lamb also, Timmy, comes back. He gets a couple hits the first game. Doesn't play against the lefty on Saturday night. Comes back today. Goes 0-for-4. What can we expect with Jake Lamb? As a guy that usually has a good first half and tires out, has a lousy second half. What do you advise in people who own Jake Lamb?
In weekly leagues, take a look at the matchups. Because he can't hit southpaws, and I don't think he'll ever be able to hit southpaws. So if I own Jake Lamb, which I don't because I don't like platoon-type players, every week I would go and I would look at the schedule and see what the matchups are as far as pitching is concerned, for the Diamondbacks. And if they're facing more than two lefties, I would keep him on my bench.
So let's talk about a bunch of young pitchers that seem to be having breakouts. And I just kind of want your thoughts, whether they're real or back in the day, we used to say real or Memorex. Memorex was a tape. Go YouTube, everybody, and watch the commercial. You'll see what we mean. And there's, six guys here, Timmy, and they're not household names. They really aren't, but they're having really good starts to the season. I just want to know your thoughts, real or Memorex versus Mike Clevinger, 3-1, 7.54 strikeout per nine, a 2.72 walk per nine. 287 ERA and a 303 FIP. Timmy, what's your thought on Mike Clevinger?
So far, so good. Last year, he walked 60 in 121 innings. And my big concern with Clevinger was the walks. This year, he has walked only 18 in 59 and two-thirds, roughly half of what he pitched last year. My concern is two of the past three outings, he's issued four walks. One of them was actually a gem, I think a one-hitter, but with Clevinger, it's all about the free passes. If he keeps them down, I really like what I'm seeing. If they start climbing up towards what has been his norm in the past, there could be trouble.
Nick Pivetta, Timmy, with the Phillies. 3-2, 10.37 strikeout per nine, a 2.15 walk per nine, 3.72 ERA, but a really impressive 3.10 FIP. Nick Pivetta, Timmy, this looks very interesting to me.
Yeah, it looks very interesting, and it's basically the same situation as Clevinger. You know, last year he walked 57 in 133 innings. This year he's walked 11, only 11 in 46. So his walk rates are incredibly higher and better than they were last year. If he maintains that lower walk rate, yeah, I like what I'm seeing. But again, if you see a spike in the walk rates, just be aware that there could be trouble coming.
Okay, Big Shot. In your Tout Wars team, you decide to trade some of your offense, and the universe consists of two pitchers, Mike Clevinger and Nick Pivetta. Which guy do you go after?
Pivetta, because of the high strikeout rates.
I agree. Kyle Freeland, Timmy, 4-4, 8.17 strikeout per nine, a 3 walk per nine, 3.17 ERA, and a 3.77 FIP. Timmy, always worry about these guys in Colorado. It's been pretty good this year. It's been better than John Gray, who, as a John Gray owner, it's just been brutal.
Yeah, it's sort of funny because, you know, he's had 6 starts on the road, 3 at home. Okay, and the 3 at home, 2 of them have been absolute gems. You know, past 5 games, San Fran, Milwaukee, the Mets. He's faced the Padres twice. The big difference with Freeland this year is he's not allowing nearly the level of hits as he has in the past. We'll see once he gets a few more home games in there what happens, but so far it looks good.
Yeah, home runs per nine is smack at 1. Generally been a fairly substantial ground ball pitcher at 48.6% of the time the ball's hit on the ground. A little bit less than last year, 53.9 in the minor leagues. But, you know, Timmy, a ground ball pitcher has a tendency to work in Coors Field.
Yeah, it's so far so good. I just want to see the next couple starts in Coors before I place a firm opinion on Freeland. I think right now he's great to own. Ride him for all he's worth.
Tyler Skaggs, Timmy, he's been around forever. Uber prospect coming up with the Arizona Diamondbacks. 3-3, 9.54 strikeout per nine, 2.88 walk per nine. I don't know if this is a typo or not, but he's got a 2.88 ERA and a 3.34 FIP. He's been very good for the Angels this year, Timmy.
Yeah, you know, with Skaggs, his career high is 113 innings pitched. It's always been about health or lack thereof with Skaggs, and if he can stay healthy, yeah, I like what I'm seeing. I really do. And, yeah, it's not like he didn't have the pedigree. So the key with Skaggs is just staying healthy.
Sean Newcomb, Timmy, another lefty, 4-1, 10.41 strikeout per nine, a very high 4.24 walk per nine, a 2.51 ERA, and a 3.08 FIP. Sean Newcomb with the Atlanta Braves via the Los Angeles Angels. I bet the Angels wish he was back in their organization, Timmy.
Oh, I bet they wish he was as well. I like Newcomb. I think he's going to be a star. I really do.
Ooh.
I think he's got the potential to be a top 30, maybe even higher starting pitcher. I only have one concern with Sean Newcomb this year, and that centers around the innings that he's going to be available to pitch. Come August, September, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see him, you know, starts skipped, some sort of control, because they're not going to pitch him 175, 180 innings this year. That's not going to happen. That's the only concern I have with Sean Newcomb, is that he might not be as available as we'd like when we need him the most. That's it.
Last guy is Ross Stripling. Timmy, a really nice outing. Was it last night or today? I can't remember. 1-1, 9.73 strikeout per nine, 2.83 walk per nine, 2.20 ERA, and a 2.83 FIP. Ross Stripling, who they thought they were going to put in the pen, and the Dodgers, has really pitched well, Timmy.
Yeah, he has. They've ramped him up. You know, he's not walking people. He's keeping the walks down. I like Ross Stripling. And based on what we're seeing in the Dodger rotation right now, he could have a job for a long time, Rich.
So, Timmy, I take a look at these six guys, and they're roughly probably going to cost you about the same. Maybe Skaggs costs a little bit more. Maybe Clevenger's, just because they've been in the leagues a little bit longer. Newcomb because of the name recognition, maybe. Six is a lot for you to order, and I didn't ask you to do this. So I'm going to ask you to pick your top two guys in this list. Who do you like both for this year, and then maybe if they're different, who do you like long-term?
This year and long-term, Newcomb has to be number one for me. He's a clear number one. Number two, I'm going to go with Pivetta. I like that strikeout rate. I really do. It'd either be Pivetta and probably Skaggs, Clevenger sitting at 3-4.
Yeah, to me, I'm not as big a fan as Newcomb as you are. That walk rate still worries me a little bit. It's Skaggs and Pivetta for me. But Tim, something tells me Ross Stripling. I need to look at some of the YouTube videos of him. There could be something changing with this cat, and I think it's something people need to be made aware of. He might be better than we think.
Yeah, I certainly won't disagree with you there. That the key there is, you know, keeping the walks down, and he's been doing that very successfully. I think he's only allowed two walks since the beginning of May and four appearances, if my memory serves me right. He's not letting anybody get on base the cheap way, and that counts.
Yeah, and striking out a ton of guys. Timmy, when we get back, we're going to be waiver wiring it. Quick guess the player, Timmy. I am in my house in Charlotte, North Carolina. I am going to sleep in my bed for the first time, Timmy, in a long time, because I've been out on the road. I've been at the beach house. I've been everywhere except in my nice, comfy bed in Charlotte.
Yes.
I want you to guess how many days has it been since I have slept in my own bed in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. Wrong music.
We need the
so this is a very important. Okay, here we go, Timmy. How many days have I not slept in my own bed?
Timmy, 16
is a very, very good guess. It is actually 19 days, Timmy. I've not slept in my own bed in 19 days. And I still haven't done it yet because I've made it up to bed. As soon as I get done this podcast, Tim, that's where I'm going. That's ridiculous, right? That's stupid.
Yeah, that's let's just say, Rich, you ain't going to be wearing out a mattress anytime soon. Yours should be good for the next 15 years at that pace.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad, but I'm really looking forward to getting back into a bit of a boring routine, Timmy. The summer, I think, is going to be nice because I think it's just going to be a normal kind of cadence, which I'm really, really looking forward to. Got a trip to Asia thrown in there, but more baseball. I've had a chance to see as many games this year as I've had in the past. I did get a chance to go to a California League game. I'm going to going to the Knights game tomorrow night. So, I mean, so I'm there, but I'm usually catching three, sometimes four games a week. It's been more like one or two games a week. So I got to get on the stick here.
Yeah, no, I had an interesting occurrence about 3 o'clock in the morning. I got kicked out of bed, Rich, if you can believe that. Literally.
Timmy, how did that happen?
Bed. Because as dutiful grandfather, one of my many chores, and you know how this works, is when your kids are traveling, it's very important that they have somebody to supervise the grand dogs. Okay.
And the dog
so
kicked you out of bed.
At about 3 o'clock in the morning, like this dog, he doesn't sleep at the end of the bed. He's a husky, okay? He sleeps up at top. He steals a couple pillows, gets all comfortable. Well, he decides he's going to go into a kicking fit at 3 a.m, and he literally kicked me out of bed. Can you believe that?
Wow.
How big? Treats and everything else. No respect, Rich.
I know. No respect to me. The grandparents always let the dogs do anything they want to. That's unacceptable to me. How big is the husky?
He'd be about 75 pounds or so, and he's strong as an ox.
Wow.
He's got me trained, Rich. He owns me. That's as simple as it can get.
Yeah, well, I know about untrained dogs. Trust me on this, Timmy. I definitely know about untrained dogs. Let me see where I am here. Okay, this is not hot prospects. What are we talking about, Timmy? We're talking your waiver wire. Let me go over to Prospect 361, the 2018, the fantasy tab, 2018 waiver wire, week number 9. Timmy, we're almost in the double digits.
Yeah, just around the corner. No baseball cards this week, Rich. Was that because I submitted it so late?
No, the baseball cards in there.
No, they're not showing up on mine. That's weird.
I don't know, Timmy. They're out there. I'm looking at them right now.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Hit the refresh or something, Timmy.
Oh, there we go. There we go. They're all there, Rich. Thanks.
I put them out there first without the pictures, and then I go back and put them in. So we'll get the names out as fast as we can. So, but Timmy, let's start off. And I had not heard this, so I actually read your waiver wire article that the Jose Bautista experiment has drawn to a close. And I must admit, Timmy, when I saw him a couple of weeks ago in Charlotte, he was just playing with the Gwinnett team. I thought the bat speed looked okay, though he was guessing on a lot of pitches. He looked good in the outfield, hit one of the longest home runs I've ever seen in a minor league park, but I didn't have high hopes, Timmy. I'm not surprised. Shame that it's probably the end of the road here for Jose Bautista.
Yeah, I would think it's got to be pretty close, Rich. Maybe somebody will pick him up as outfield depth, but I'm sort of betting it's the end of the road, and that, you know, Atlanta just simply decided that Johan Camargo is a better bet until either they make a trade or Austin Riley is ready to rock and roll.
I think I think Austin Riley would be a nice call. I've never been a huge fan of Austin Riley. Could be wrong on that. But it feels like, Timmy, with as bad as the Baltimore Orioles are and how much depth the Atlanta Braves have and the fact they have a chance to do it, Timmy, a trade of Machado to the Braves to play third base feels right, man.
Yeah, would Manny Machado, would he be happy playing third base when he could be and should be playing shortstop? That'd be the only question that I would have. But
tell Dansby Swanson to go to third base then.
Yeah, or go into a super utility role and keep Camargo at third base. Either way, it's a perfect fit for a Machado trade. It really is, and I'd love to.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, Johan Camargo is the pickup there. J.D. Davis, the Astros bring him up. Timmy, does he get much playing time, though?
You know, Gattis is starting to show a little bit of life, but, you know, Gurriel's only got one home run, and Davis can play first base. I just hope that with the way he's been playing down on the farm, they give Davis some at-bats, because I think he could work his way into the lineup if they give him the opportunity. Will they give him the opportunity? I really don't know, Rich.
Yeah, I don't know either, Timmy. I mean, he's just an okay player. Somebody looks like they just hit a home run. Who is that? Is this Gattis? That's McCann just hit a home run. Now the Astros up 2-0 The home run, I believe, came off Carrasco. Yep, came off Carrasco. So they're up 2-0. McCullers pitching very, very well tonight. Jared Dyson, we talked about. Sam Gaviglia, Timmy. Tell us who Sam Gaviglia is.
Well, he's a starting pitcher that's replaced Jaime Garcia in the Jays rotation. I watched the game yesterday, and, you know, he doesn't have a great fastball, but he spotted everything well. The breaking stuff was fine. If he mixes his pitches, he'll be okay. Would I want to roll him out against the Yankees or the Red Sox? Probably not. But in deeper leagues and AL only, yeah, he's worth a cheap spec pick, Rich.
I was glad to actually see finally the Toronto come to, you know, something on Marcus Stroman. Something had to be done there. And I know it's shoulder fatigue. I don't even know what that means. But something had to be done there, Timmy. I'm glad they're trying to got him down to the training facility, trying to figure out what's wrong. Is it a tired shoulder? Does he have an injury there? But get him out. I mean, he was just brutal.
Yeah, the velocity was off, and it was time. Apparently, he's still not throwing. So, you know, we're looking at who knows how long before we see Stroman back in.
Garrett Hampson, to me, was also on my hot prospects a few weeks ago. Really nice stolen base potential. LeMahieu gets injured. I don't know, Timmy. Does he get a chance?
I don't know, but I think he's available in quite a few dynasty formats. I'd be looking at buying right now and stashing, even if he doesn't get called up. That stolen base potential moving forward is very, very intriguing. So, especially for a guy like me that covets stolen bases, I'm going to be looking at adding him where I can this week, Rich.
I agree with you, Timmy. It's a nice little player. I think I talked about him fairly at length over the winter in the Colorado organization. I agree with you there. Josh Harrison, I think we all know that. It just comes off the DL. Andrew Heaney, Timmy, again, with like Tyler Skaggs, a kid that, yeah, you know, Tommy John surgery survivor, really good pedigree, has never really put it together. Starting to show some life now.
Yeah, he's had a really, really nice run lately. And, you know, he's only owned to the tune of 43%. So there might be an opportunity to get a fifth, sixth starter and take advantage of that run. And like you said, the pedigree's been there. It's not like it hasn't. It's just the ability to stay healthy. Maybe this year he will.
Guillermo Heredia, Timmy, tell me why, besides Robinson Cano losing, obviously, out for the next 80 games, why do I want Heredia?
Well, I think he can give you some power, a decent batting average, and he's going to play every day, especially with D. Gordon heading to second base. Hey, they need somebody in center field, and Heredia right now looks to be the guy, so I like him as a cheap bid and fill in as an injury type replacement player in your lineup. The key is he's going to play and he's going to get at bats.
One thing I was not aware of was Jose Iglesias up to 7 stolen bases in 9 attempts. Timmy, I did not know that.
Yeah, it was sort of like I was going to put, you know, Iglesias now has amassed 7 stolen bases in 9 attempts. That's all. And then leave it at that. But I thought that was almost a little bit too rude, Rich.
It's fascinating to me. I mean, again, I don't need to punch this stuff up too much, but this is what you get when you read Tim's stuff. I mean, there's no way that you as a fantasy owner, Tim, or anybody else can just know every player osmosis. You actually have to do the research. Tim does
yes.
it for you. And all of a sudden, you look at your shortstop, you got some stiff guy in there that's not doing much, and there's Jose Iglesias sitting with 7 stolen bases and going, oh, you know he's going to get playing time because he's a great defensive player, so why not go Jose Iglesias? I mean, it's not a bad pickup.
No, if you're looking for some cheap speed, he's sitting out there all over the place. Depending on who you got and how deep your league is and who you've got at middle infield, 7 stolen bases. Add that to your current total in stolen bases and see where it gets you.
Nate Jones, Timmy, back-to-back outings, back-to-back saves.
Yeah, that bullpen has been a little bit of a mess, and I'm betting on Jones taking and running with the job. they got to get somebody in there on a permanent basis. And, hey, back-to-back saves, that pretty much says it all. I think he's going to hold on to that ninth inning gig.
Austin Meadows, we've talked about Timmy. Shelby Miller, a lot of people have forgotten about Shelby Miller coming back from injury soon and was really, really good before he started really having some injury issues when he was in, I guess when he went from Atlanta to Arizona. Not a bad pickup, Timmy, particularly in a dynasty league, if somehow he's sitting out on the waiver wire.
Well, the bottom line is you know he's going to get the opportunity. The Diamondbacks need pitching help, and they're going to roll him out there, so give her a shot.
That Garrett Cole trade from Pittsburgh to the Houston Astros is looking really, really bad for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, Colin Moran's been okay. You know, he's second division, third baseman. He's okay. And Joe Musgrove is probably about the same. To me, he's probably going to be okay. But he gets the chance here this week.
Yes. And Nick Kingham continues.
Yeah, yeah. As much as like Joe Musgrove, I'd much rather have Nick Kingham seeing him pitch than I would Joe Musgrove. But, you know, it's tough because, when you evaluate that Garrett Cole trade, I don't know if Garrett Cole would be the guy. I think he's leading the majors in ERA or second or third. I think it's between him, Morton, and Verlander. I don't believe he would have been that Garrett Cole this year in Pittsburgh. Something happened
with
Houston.
Yeah, I know. I don't think so either, Rich. Musgrove, if I can get him for the right price, I'll definitely pick him up. But I'd just be a little bit leery about starting him against the Cards this week. I'd keep him on the bench for that first start, see how it works out.
Yeah. He's a nice pitcher. He's a league average pitcher. That's who you got. Maybe, maybe because it has a Dan Straley kind of half a year like Dan Straley had last year. I don't know. Brandon Nimmo, Timmy. Okay, on base percentage, that's about all he provides.
Yeah, and he has a name that works well with 20,000 leagues under the sea, so I couldn't pass him up.
Yeah, I saw that, Timmy. Dustin Pedroia, Timmy, I've never heard of this guy. Who is he?
At one point in time, he was a really good second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. Working his way back, at some point in time, he's going to be owning the second base job in Boston, potentially as early as the end of May. 23% owned. Hey, if you need help at middle infield because you had Robinson Cano in six of your seven leagues, give him a look.
Carlos Rodon finally getting back from his injury, and I didn't realize it was actually at Kannapolis, so I can go see that game. But he's coming back to me. He should be in the rotation, in a couple of weeks, maybe?
Yeah, I would think a couple of weeks. I believe I read somewhere that they might move him in there even quicker than that. So I wouldn't wait too long if you're looking at Carlos Rodon. That first start was very, very impressive at Kannapolis.
But it should be, Timmy. Those are low-A guys. And so yeah. If it wouldn't have been impressive, been a little bit conservative. Dennis Santana. I mean, let's talk about Dennis Santana. He made my hot prospect list a couple of weeks ago. I think I introduced everybody to this cat. 6-foot Dominican. Good stuff. The Dodgers, you picked it up. The Dodgers, they're just dropping like flies over there, Timmy. And we knew this beginning of the season. We knew that this rotation was going to be injured because they just have guys that get injured, and it could be Dennis Santana, Timmy, and that's not a bad little speculative pickup here.
No, he's basically unowned. He's even unowned in one of the dynasty leagues we played.
I didn't pick him up. I just didn't have room for him, Timmy, but I think he was only picked up after my article in two of the leagues that are in the five dynasty leagues associated with the show, so he's out there.
Well, yeah, he's definitely out there, and man, that was a nice start. That first one at Albuquerque, six innings, three hit shutout ball, 11 strikeouts, and I've got to thank you, Rich, because if you wouldn't have put him on your hot wire, I probably never would have included him on my waiver wire article.
Juan Soto, Timmy, we talked that nauseam about that. Ross Stripling, we've talked about, and Dan Winkler, Timmy. Why would I consider Dan Winkler?
Well, hey, he's been pitching late, so 28 strikeouts, a pinch over 19 innings, only allowed 2 earned runs, and his manager seems to like him an awful lot, which makes a whole lot of sense because he's pitched lights out. Wouldn't surprise me at all if Aroldis Vizcaino has some struggles. It wouldn't surprise me to see him pick up a save or two. Might even work his way into the role. A.J. Minter has been okay, but he hasn't been dominant.
Good call, Timmy. Everybody's writing the obituary, though, of Vizcaino. He seems to keep coming back. Nice, good arm, just not the most not the most consistent of pitchers, and I think that's the problem there. Timmy, when we get back, we're going to do 2-start pitchers, and I'm going to ask you about the Royal Wedding. As a Canuck, Timmy, and as a member of the extended British Empire, I'm assuming you watched at least part of the Royal Wedding, if not live. You had to see part of it.
Who got married, Rich?
No, Timmy. I got to tell you, I thought it was really cool. I don't know if you did you not see it at all?
No, Rich, I had a choice between sleeping with the dog, okay, or getting up and watching the Royal Wedding. Sleeping with the dog, especially coming off the anesthetic from my day surgery on Thursday.
Oh, that's right. You had your colonoscopy. That's right. I saw that on Facebook. I did think of you, Timmy. That was pretty funny. But yeah, so no royal wedding, huh?
No. I'm just not into it, Rich. I'm really not. And you know, it's probably a black mark against my citizenship, but I'll get over it.
I think that you have to watch out to me. They might be coming after you. I would tell you it was a beautiful wedding. My wife watched more of it. I kind of came in on it, but I saw the black pastors preach a sermon, 13-minute sermon, which was awesome to me. It was just awesome. I mean, he was fun, man. He was laying it out there. I just thought it was fantastic. I thought it was a little bit more laid back than other royal weddings have been, and I thought it was kind of cool. I thought the British monarch came off okay this time.
Who's the British monarch? No, I just kidding.
All right, enough of that, Timmy. Let's get to 2-star pitchers. So we've got a number of – I was trying to get something out of you, but I got nothing. I got Tim signed interested in the British monarch. All right. So we'll move on. That's okay. Timmy, you're more macho than I am. So I actually sat there and watched a little bit of it and thought it was actually pretty cool. Anyway, let's go through some 2-star pitchers, Timmy. Again, a lot of names here. I'm going to cherry pick a few guys. The first guy, of course, is Matt Harvey. He is Cincinnati, how do you know, if you recall, home against Jameson Taillon and at Colorado and Germán Márquez. Timmy, a 5.79 ERA. You know the stat line. It's playing against a very good Pittsburgh team and at Colorado. I don't know how in the world you start Matt Harvey this week, but maybe if you're desperate.
Reverse leagues.
Fat Bart, Timmy, home against the Yankees and home against Ian Kennedy. Do you know Fat Bart's got like a 2-something ERA?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. He just goes out there and just lobs his way to victory after victory. Just, you know what? I'm going to start Big Bart this week. Kansas City, hey, Ian Kennedy is no gem, so I'll go with Bartolo this week. He's pitching very, very well, and I'm happy for him. He's definitely a huge asset to our game. He really is.
definitely huge. 2.82 ERA, 5.65 strikeouts for 9. You go, oh, okay, that's not going to get you. Timmy, he's walked 4 guys. He's got a 0.71 walk per 9. He's walked 4 guys this year.
Yeah, he's not giving it away. He's making people hit it where they ain't, and it's working. Good for him.
And the Rangers don't have a great defense, but you know, I guess it's good enough. And I agree with you. I think I am starting Bartolo Colon. Ian Kennedy, Timmy. I don't know. Do we care about Ian Kennedy anymore?
Who?
Yeah, Germán Márquez, Timmy, with Colorado at the Dodgers and Walker Buehler, who's playing very well at home against Matt Harvey and with Cincinnati. What about Germán Márquez?
I'm going to start him just because of the guaranteed one win against Matt Harvey.
Okay. Jason Vargas sent me one of the signs by the New York Mets. And look, we saw with his fielding independent average where it was last year. We knew it was going to be a correction time. I don't think anybody thought it would be this bad. The last three starts, 13.86 ERA, 0-3 start, 12 innings pitched, 9 strikeouts, 7 walks. It's not been good for Jason Vargas.
No, and I don't think it's going to get any better. I'll take Elizer Hernandez over Vargas this week, Rich.
Okay. Let's go down to Elizer Hernandez. He's at New York Mets and Jason Vargas and home against Steven Strasburg with the Nationals. Been pitching pretty well.
Yeah, he has been. And it looks like he's taken over the spot in the rotation from Jarlin the Marlin. So I'm all in short term, Rich.
Some guy named Ryan Carpenter, Timmy, who I don't know who that is, at Minnesota and Jose Berrios and home against the White Sox and James Shields. What about Ryan Carpenter?
No, that's a pass for me. James Shields will lead the Chi Sox onto victory, and Minnesota, I don't want him pitching a target. No, definitely not.
Okay, Timmy, you have to pick one. There is no, you can't play cute with this. You have to pick one.
Okay.
Matt Harvey, home against Pittsburgh or at Colorado. Ian Kennedy, at St. Louis against Miles Mikolas, and at Texas and Fat Bartolo Colon. Or Jason Vargas, home against Elizer Hernandez, and at Milwaukee and Junior Guerra. You have to pick one. Who's it going to be?
I'll go with Jason Vargas, simply because Miami... I don't think Miami will score the runs that'll do as much damage as potentially the Rockies will against Harvey. So I'll go with Vargas and hope the damage is minimal, Rich.
I think that's reasonable, Timmy. What a wonderful show. You were awesome, as usual, bringing it with the waiver wire and just all your comments. And again, I encourage everybody to go back and listen to that first 15 to 20 minutes of Tim talking about strategy about the game and the FAB process and the waiver wire process. Because, Timmy, I found it very compelling. I thought you really, really brought up some good points, things that people don't typically think of. And again, for those of you who don't know Tim very well, Tim wins leagues, not against chumps like me and others. He wins games, he wins fantasy leagues against some of the best in the business. And we need to listen to him because, you know, he brings up some really good stuff. And I think it's time, you know, well spent time, people going back and listening to that first segment. Timmy, I thought it was really good.
Well, thanks so much, Rich. I really, really appreciate that. And, I do my best each and every week, and I try to dig a little bit deeper on the waiver wire, and hopefully there's some benefit out there for our listeners, Rich. I really hope so.
Yeah, Timmy, and again, if those of you want to go catch Tim out on Facebook, you can do that, Tim MCLEOD, and just send him links to the Royal Wedding so he can get caught up on his monarchism.
Well, thanks so much. There's nothing I enjoy more than watching two people drive around town in, you know, a horse and buggy situation, Rich.
It wasn't a horse and buggy, Timmy. It was a chariot-led little horse and carriage. It was cool.
Okay.
Horse and buggy. It makes them sound like the Amish people, Timmy. Come on.
It's close to Kentucky, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Timmy, I don't think Amish, they can't listen to the radio, so we're probably okay. I don't think I offended them, did I?
If they can't listen to the radio, I would say we're probably
okay.
On that one. But, you know, in the event that we did insult someone, being the Canadian, I will apologize on behalf of everybody concerned.
That's
something we do as Canadians.
Canadians apologize for everything, Timmy. That whether you're at fault or not, you just apologize blanketly. I'm very sorry for whatever might have offended you.
Well, yeah, I say I'm sorry at least 15 times a day. And, you know, Rich, I got to be honest with you. I'm usually not, okay?
it's just part of the speak in Canada. I know, Timmy. Hang out with enough Canucks. I know. Yeah.
Yes, I actually started looking at Arizona already, Rich.
Oh, really? What are you going to do?
Well, you know what? I got a really, really good rate on a flight. Okay, right out of International Falls. All I have to do is cross the border, hop a plane, $400 Canadian return. Okay, and it's actually a real airline to boot. Okay, it's not Fly-By-Night Inc. But then, you know, I took a look, and I decided to explore how much it would cost me to rent a car, okay, for 12 days. And it's actually cheaper for me to drive down, spend 6 nights hotel on the way down, pay the gas, than it is to take a cheap flight out of International Falls and rent a car. They wanted four digits, Rich, to rent a car for 10 days in Arizona. Total insanity. I could not believe that.
Wow. So wait a minute. So let me get this straight. So to fly and rent the car in Arizona is more expensive than driving down your own car, driving it down, and staying at all the different hotels to get there.
Yeah, hotels and meals on the way down. 6 nights hotel plus the gas, it's cheaper than flying cheap and renting a car. Unbelievable.
So, Tim, now, again, I know you don't pay attention to me at all. This is well known. And again,
I pay attention.
So if you
remember,
recall,
you talking about it.
That's right. We're talking about the ripoff known as the rental car companies. And it's the one thing, because I travel a lot, it's the one thing that's just out of control. The flights are tapped down because of competition. The hotels, there's so many hotels. You can always find one if you want to spend $90. You can always find a cheap hotel. But the rental car companies are going to charge you $70 or $80 to rent the smallest car. And by the way, you can rent a subcompact car, Timmy, that looks like you're wearing it for $75 or a full-size car for $77. So it's no difference, really, in the size of the car. It's just how much the thing costs. And it's something that's not talked about enough.
Well, yeah, you know, I looked at the one car they were trying to rent, Rich, and I'd have to sit in the back seat, okay, to feel comfortable, and that's driving.
I mean, the other thing, Timmy, is you go down there and you Uber around everywhere, you know, as possible. You know, it does limit it. Maybe you stay at a hotel near one of the stadiums, and you can walk to it, and then maybe you Uber around the rest of the time. I mean, that's a possibility. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it just absolutely floored me when I saw the rental rates. And I remember you mentioning how expensive it was and the taxes and everything else. And it's insane. It really is just totally, totally insane. But definitely we're going to have to get in sync this year and find some way to meet up in the desert, Rich. I really miss the fact that we haven't for a couple years. And I'm gonna work hard to plan my trip around your schedule this year, because your schedule is a little more challenging than mine, and hopefully we can meet up in Phoenix this year.
Well, for sure, I'm going to be there the first week, Timmy, so there's no question about that. So, and then if I get a chance, I was there twice last year. We just missed each other.
Yeah.
I was there right before you, or before you, and then I think I got there the day after you left. So that didn't work out. But it's fun to go that first week. That's when you get all the top players and all the top pitchers pitching. The only problem is it's really, really, let me stress this, really hot. So.
Well, considering I break into a sweat at 65, what you're saying is I'll need to shower four times a day, something like that?
That first game, Tim, in the afternoon, to get to the wrong ballpark, you will feel overwhelmed. I mean, it's really hot. I mean, it's just miserably hot. So it could be 100 degrees, and it's just like, oh. And then at night you have a coat on because it's so cold. So, I mean, it's pretty miserable. But the competition is really, really good.
Yeah, it's just something that I'm looking forward to again this year, Rich. So starting to get my plans in order, and hopefully we'll cross paths with lots of friends while I'm down there.
Yeah, for sure, Timmy, for sure. Well, that's a wrap, Tim. Anything else you want to tell us that you've got going on this week before we let you go?
No, I'm going to have a nice quiet week and a Citro Meg free week and a happy one, Rich. Be well.
Okay, take care, Timmy.